Bickley and Marotta.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley Blast.
After all the big talk and all the big dollars spent, the Suns were good for zero playoff victories. They didn't make history. They ended up in a dustpan, and you know what that means. That means for the first time in his stewardship of the Suns, Matt Ishbia is getting skewered. For starters, he's been accused of new owner syndrome, the condition that has affected Steve Cohen, David Tepper, and Steve Ballmer, just to name a few. It's where a new owner with a lot of money comes in and makes too many decisions. And it is true, many new owners learn this lesson the hard way. But one Sun source even told HoopsHype that it's like Looney Tunes in Phoenix, and that Ishbia's decisions have resulted in a sketchy roster that has no depth, no size, and no point guard. Bottom line, this is a reminder of how cruel pro sports can be, because at one time, we were all captivated by Ishbia's wallet and his aggression and his bravado. I even called his purchase of the Suns possibly the greatest reprieve in sports history. Now Ishbia is stuck with a high-priced sports car that can't get out of the garage, and he must fix this basketball team, an act that might require more magician than mortgage banker, and that begins with a long look in the mirror. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
Yes, because it's one thing to lose a series. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. Okay, if they would have lost the series in 6-7 games and fought hard, okay, cool. But to roll over the way that they did and not win a single game in the series, again, with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, and you can't get one game, just one game, not win the series, one game, you don't have enough pride within yourself to go out there and say, you know what, hey, guys, let's get it together. Let's go out here and handle business. We need to get this game and get it and actually get it done. They didn't have it. Yes, it is, in my eyes, the biggest disappointment in NBA history.
Kendrick Perkins from ESPN on with Wolf and Luke yesterday, explaining his statement that he made on ESPN about it being the biggest disappointment in NBA history. Let's start there, because we talked to Charles Barkley, who was on fire today. And Charles Barkley said to this day he takes pride in the fact that he never got swept during his playing career in a best of seven series. The Suns got swept. And I'm torn on this, because in the midst of the series, I told you how I felt yesterday. It was relief. I just wanted it to end. Why prolong it? The Suns did not show the ability to compete on a consistent basis with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Frank Vogel said after game three, they're just too much for us to handle. So from that aspect, it was like, I don't care if they get a game. But as you stated, and to say it as succinctly as you did to begin the blast, this experiment did not even net one playoff win. That does make you angry.
It does. It does. And again, there's a lot of criticism now about how we got here. And I know we've got cuts from Rich Paul from Clutch Sports, LeBron's agent, who said, look, nobody builds a big three anymore. It's dumb. And go ahead, play.
Right, this is from SiriusXM Radio, Rich Paul.
When you look at the Suns, they just don't have the depth or the balance. I'm a firm believer that a big three is a catastrophe. You need a big two in depth. And I've never been a firm believer of big three. And there's been a misconception of a big three. People talk about the Heat. They never had a big three. They had three big names, but they didn't have a big three, right? So we've, as an industry, has pushed that narrative, but it's not really that. When you look at the Warriors, when they were elite, when they got KD, they had a big two in Steph and KD, and then they had a tremendous amount of depth. Draymond, Clay, so on and so forth. Lakers in 2020, same thing. So to me, a big three is troublesome, and Philly's going to have to make a decision this summer. And if they go that route, it can be troublesome for them as well.
Interesting stuff.
It is.
And it's very possible that there's two factors that will end this concept of the super team in the NBA. One, is the luxury tax threshold penalties, which make it very difficult to build a roster, as the Suns are finding out. And two is the 2023-2024 Phoenix Suns.
Exactly.
And Kevin Durant's last stint in Brooklyn.
Yep.
We'll mix into that too.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So, and I think all of these things are real valid. You begin to wonder, okay, would this team have been better off? Because you have to say this, that Bradley Beal, the biggest drain he presents is the contract and the no trade clause. So if you suddenly realize, okay, this guy is not a winning player, what are you going to do with him? Nothing. He's going to be a member of the Phoenix Suns. The question then becomes, could you have used what you traded for Bradley Beal to actually acquire the depth that we're talking about? I'm not sure you could have.
I don't think there's any way they could have.
Second-round picks don't mean squat in the NBA anymore.
There was one trade that could have been made to get something of use for Chris Paul, and the Suns made it.
Yes.
And they knew that at the time.
Yes.
And the Washington Wizards knew that at the time.
Right. And so we were all behind it because I think we knew. See, a lot of people now, they are taking shots at the Suns, and gleefully so. We said this at the beginning of the show today. Fingers are pointing at us, and people are laughing at how our basketball team cratered. Because of all the talk, because of the money, because of Matt Ishbia, I'm here to win next year and the year after and the year after and the year after. And we all love it here, but you have to understand what it sounds like out there.
Saying it respectfully, I don't know how teams are going to guard us.
Yeah, that stuff. And so that's what we're getting laughed at.
Well, when you make a statement like that, it circulates around the league. Nothing is said behind closed doors anymore. No. Everything gets publicized. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker said that and we loved it. And we're like, yeah, how? At the time, everybody was saying the same thing. You're going to double Devin Booker and leave Bradley Beal or Kevin Durant? You're going to double Kevin Durant, leave Devin Booker alone?
Yeah.
It turned out it was not that hard to guard them for a number of different reasons.
That's right. And so I guess, so what you have to decide now is, is this mix of players here, is it still good? Can you make something of this? Does KD want out? You heard Charles Barkley say that's what he's hearing, that there are rumblings that he wants out of here.
Stephen A. Smith said he wants to go to New York, too.
Well, KD is on record as saying, I wish I would have gone to New York instead of Brooklyn in that TV show.
Yes.
But whatever. So I think what you're saying here is what I agree with most, that you got to find a way to make this work. As long as everybody still is cool and wants to be here, you've got to find a way to make these wonderful talents they possess work.
Yes. And
because you're not going to get the depth.
Back to chart. No, it's impossible as constructed to get that depth. And you asked the question about the Chris Paul trade. If the big three is back, there has to be a concerted effort, a decision made by one of them. Who is going to be the on-floor leader? The follow-me guy that Charles Barkley was just talking about.
Yep.
It's not going to be Kevin Durant.
Nope.
He's not going to take on that role at age 36. You're going to get from Kevin Durant what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Bradley Beal is an impactful enough player to be that guy.
Yep.
The spotlight is shining on Devin Booker. This is his franchise. This is his team. He's got to be the guy
to
do
right
that.
You're right on the money.
And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I now disagree with all these moves. I was excited about the moves the Suns made.
Yep.
Absolutely. And it was very exciting as somebody who's rooted for this franchise for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
To have an owner that is that desirous of becoming a championship team.
Wholeheartedly.
The problem is there is a massive difference between wanting to win and knowing how to win. And I will never question Matt Ishbia's desire to win. Now, the first swing was a miss. Now you got to figure out how to win.
And there's a difference between trying to win and winning.
Yes.
Unlike, you know, the last guy, he's truly trying to win, but they're not winning yet.
Wait.
I you lost me, Jared.
Unlike Robert Sarver.
Okay.
Matt Ishbia is doing everything to try to win. He's okay, throwing gotcha. Money yes, and trying yes. to get all the stars, yes. and he's doing.
And we put a lot of faith in him because he's not your average businessman who came to pro sports. Yeah. He was on a NCAA championship team under one of the greatest coaches in college basketball history.
True. Jared, thanks for wiping your muddy shoes all over my segment punctuation
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Vinny was just brilliant.
Now, let's talk
use
about
the, use the floor, Matt. Jared, take off your shoes before coming in the house.
Birkenstocks were caked with mud. Now it's all over me. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll explore last night in the NBA, which was the last night of the season for the LA Lakers. What does that mean going forward? That and more next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Come on. I'm burning. Come on. Come on.
Arizona Sports.
Ballin'.
Floor Burns with Bickley and Murata.
I just dunked it. I just straight.
Murray has it on the high right side. High pick from Jokic. Murray, jumper from eight. Got it again! 3.6 seconds left for the Lakers. LeBron over to Prince. Jumper's no good at the horn. And the LA Lakers can take that L on the way out.
That was 92.5 Altitude Sports final call on the Nuggets Radio Network. Jamal Murray is a bad dude.
He's especially good. He's got a clutch gene, doesn't he? We talked about that earlier.
People say the clutch gene doesn't exist. Yeah,
it does.
Exists, and it's very much alive in Jamal Murray.
Yeah, that shot he made was elegant, exquisite. What else begins with an E? Egg roll-like?
Excellent.
Excellent?
Egg roll-like.
What do you think of egg rolls, Jared?
A really good egg roll.
Yeah.
There's one Chinese restaurant sort of near you that makes fantastic New York-style egg rolls. Really, really good.
What is a New York style egg roll? I've never heard of this.
You know, around here,
it's
when you're
rude and it has an accent.
It sounds like this.
As I'm walking here,
I'm full of cabbage and meat. Like around here, they call like spring rolls egg rolls. Like they're too thin and crispy.
Yeah, I don't like them.
The real ones are kind of have like a little chewiness to them.
Yeah.
Well, spring rolls don't have any meat, correct? It's just
no. That's right.
Is it?
They're mostly vegetarian. Anyway, I don't want to derail you with talk of Chinese food unless you'd like to.
So here's the I want to know the name of that restaurant you're talking about, by the way. Okay, so aside from that Jamal Murray shot, I was
oh my god.
Oh.
To Jamal Murray or the egg roll?
Both. It was an egg roll like shot.
I was astounded at the level of defense Nikola Jokic chose to play on LeBron James. You see, he bodied him a little bit, and I thought, ooh, that's either really great defense or that was a real dangerous play. I don't know. Either way, it never gets old watching the Lakers lose, especially when Anthony Davis comes down with an owie.
They've been running it on ESPN all morning. Anthony Davis writhing flat on the ground on the baseline after he got brushed up against by Michael Porter.
It's pretty bad.
And Anthony Davis, to his credit, was healthy this year, comparatively speaking. LeBron was healthy this year, which kind of made it shocking that LeBron blamed the whole season on injury.
You know, our season has been derailed all season with just like injuries and guys in and out. And I talked about it all year. He was around us all year. I said, it's hard to say who we are, what we can be, because we have yet to be whole. I think we was only probably whole maybe one or two times this year. And I know one of them was during the in-season tournament. We got whole and we showed what he's capable of doing. But we were just hit with injuries after injuries after injuries. And it was just hard to, it's hard to come back from that.
Wah. obviously, with the season ending, they win only one playoff game. I said this to you off the air. I look at the Lakers' roster construction top to bottom. I think it's a better roster than the Suns have. So, and they have LeBron James, Jarrett Carlin's number one player of all time. That might be a bigger disappointment than the Suns not winning.
Might be. Yeah, it might be.
Maybe I'm just projecting and trying to make myself feel better.
That's okay.
They had a bad.
That's allowed.
I mean, they played the Denver Nuggets, too.
Yeah.
And they were pretty competitive in all those games.
They were.
But
I'll give them that. Now, LeBron has a player option for next year. He's going to be 40. It's going to be year 22. It's a $51 million player option. So when that's on the table, there's all this talk. And he said earlier in the year, I don't have much time left. Then you add in the factor that his son is NBA draft eligible this year. LeBron was asked if this was it for the Lakers, his Lakers stint.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Wow. Wow.
Weird way to address
Very
that.
Weird. Well, listen, the idea now that Bronny is draft eligible and the fact that the Lakers are now going to feel compelled to take him to keep LeBron, this is, isn't that a little too self-indulgent for anybody else's tastes? You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like
we're talking about LeBron James.
But we've also, like, to be fair though, like Zoran Dragic was on the Suns to appease Goran Dragic, and he's far less valuable to a franchise than LeBron James.
Thanasis.
That is
Thanasis, perfect example. The 12th man on a bench of a championship level team. Because, you know,
what if some NBA team wants to troll the Lakers and drafts Bronny like 7th overall?
I mean,
are you really,
the Clippers do exist?
Are you really going to do that to spite the Los Angeles Lakers?
I don't know.
And LeBron James.
At 7. I'm being that's being facetious, but
you might be crippling your franchise at any draft position to draft Bronny James.
This is
right
what
now.
That's what I'm talking about. It's one thing to add a guy to the end of the roster. It seems a little more yucky to have to draft a kid when even though you're probably not going to get a good player where the Lakers are drafting, don't know.
They could draft him in the second round because I don't think he's going to go in the first round, right?
But if teams know that that's the ticket to LeBron, what would stop the Orlando Magic or somebody from drafting him?
It's true.
It is. I mean, I guess that. There's another level of intrigue here.
There's just so much stuff that comes with LeBron.
Titles, greatness, attention.
There was a clip last night, too, where LeBron was bellyaching about a call. I just showed Bick this off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking, the ball's dead, and he's walking back on defense, and there's a female fan in the front row at Ball Arena giving him the crybaby. And LeBron actually, like, you know when you, when somebody steps to you and you step back, you kind of flinch at him?
Yeah.
He did that, and she, like, jumped out of her chair.
He pretended like he was going to rush her and beat the stuffing out of her,
And then she got really animated, and all he did was just walk back on defense with a huge smile on his face.
It's actually pretty funny.
I thought it was pretty funny,
yeah,
too.
It actually is.
But to the point, is this your last game with the Lakers? For him to ponder it for a moment and say, I'm not going to answer that. Thanks. I appreciate it. Isn't that basically saying I have thought about it, but
it
I'm not
going
to? You could very easily just deflect and say, look.
Which he does
lost.
Every year. Usually he's like, well, you know, I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm going to take some time in the offseason, yes. This, that, and the other.
Yeah. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, that trio combined for one playoff victory this year.
Wow.
That's something, isn't it?
It's the first time they haven't been around for the second round. One of them hasn't been around for the second round of the playoffs since Curry came into the league. Passing of the torch.
Wow. Clearly.
Yeah. Coming up next, Charles Barkley wants you to know he was right about
Well, he was.
We'll tell you next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
I know y'all spent all of yesterday. People called in and said, Charles was right. Charles was right. Charles was right. I know that's what happened yesterday, right?
Charles Barkley, the Hall of Famer, joined us earlier on this morning here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. And not exactly taking a victory lap, but not exactly not taking a victory lap.
Well, he
either.
Deserves to. I mean, because he's been very consistent in his criticism, and I think in the end it was proven to be accurate.
Yeah,
so.
And look... You gave Charles a thank you for shouting us out on TNT, and that goes back to what Charles was right about. And he's been saying it. And I thought the treatment of Charles Barkley on social media from Suns fans during the season was shameful.
It was absurd.
And Charles explained it. Look, I love the Phoenix Suns. I want them to do well. But he also gets paid to be an analyst and to give his opinion on things.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, Charles is not right about everything. In this case, he appears to be right that the Phoenix Suns had a leadership problem all season long, whether it came from the coach, whether it came from one of their star players. And he said, yes, the coach is very important, but it's got to come down to the players. And he talked about two-thirds of the big three failing to take the reins of the leadership role with the Suns.
Remember I said early in the season, I said, it's got to be Devin Booker. Because KD says, I just want to play basketball. Well, when you're a great player, it's just not that easy.
Yeah.
There's a certain responsibility with becoming a great player. Whether you want it or not, it automatically falls on your back. And he should have taken a leadership role because he's won two titles. And so he should have been the guy. He knows what it takes. He's been around Steph and Draymond and Klay. So he should have been the guy. But he said he didn't want it. And I think last time I was on your guys' show, I said, well, if he don't want it, it's got to be Book. And they never addressed it. And it's unfortunate because I want to see the Suns do well.
And we talked about it, too, that I believe on this front, Charles Barkley is exactly right. Mm-hmm. And the possibility looming that we're opening up the season with the big three intact with the Phoenix Suns next year, that dynamic has to change. And I don't think it's going to be Kevin Durant. In fact, I know it's not going to be Kevin Durant.
No.
And I don't mean that as a knock because
nope.
He does have that attitude of I just want to play basketball. It's got to fall on Devin Booker.
It really does. And I really love the way you laid this out earlier because I do think this has to be who he has to be going forward. And I think he can do it. And I think that's part of the way out for the Phoenix Suns is for him to be that guy to just, the issue with Kevin Durant is there's all this deference to, oh, he's just the greatest. He's the greatest of all time. He's one of the, I watched him since I was five and all. Look, that's all well and good, but in the here and now, you've got to check all these boxes on what it means to be an elite basketball team. And that's one step in this recovery that has to happen. Totally agree with you. Now, maybe Devin Booker doesn't want any part of that, and that's why he wants to go to New York. I'm kidding. I like how Charles leveled that whole thing.
Yeah.
Stephen A. wants everybody to come to New York.
Hold on. First of all, Stephen A. think everybody wants to go to New York. you know, last year, the last few years, it's been Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
Last time when KD was a free agent, it was New York.
Uh-huh.
Giannis,
Stephen
LeBron.
A wants every, yeah, yeah, now, yeah. Stephen A. wants everybody to go to New York. Stephen A. is a friend of mine, and I love Stephen A. But he wants everybody in New York. He's not going to die happy until the Knicks win a championship.
Right.
So he wants everybody to go to New York. So you can skip that.
Well, and how about the situation that the Knicks are in? Why would they want to upset what they got going on? They're not even at full health right now. Mm-hmm. They're about to advance to the second round without Julius Randle. Now, maybe that's a piece they can move.
Yeah.
That's a story for mm-hmm. another day. Yeah, I mean, he also talked about what most of the smoke around the Suns right now is what happens in the coming days. There's a press conference tomorrow, which will feature Matt Ishbia and James Jones. Does that press conference have to just tie a bow on the season? Or is it tying a bow on Frank Vogel's coaching tenure here?
It's a good question because, like you mentioned, there's this dual press conference tomorrow, and it was moved. James Jones was moved to accompany Matt Ishbia tomorrow. Leads to a lot of speculation that today might be a day that Frank Vogel loses his job. Now, I will say this, that I think you can, as an owner, you can rightfully ask how much of this is the coach's fault, how much of this is my fault in terms of the roster composition, and how much of this is the player's fault in not being coachable, in not sticking to the game plan, in not being eager to get out of your mid-range comfort zone and start shooting threes. I think at the end of it all, it doesn't matter where you apportion the blame, because if you don't have much flexibility and you are running it back with this big three, you're going to have to find a different leader.
Yes.
On the bench. And I agree with you that one of the three has to be the guy on the floor. There There has to be accountability. That's one of my fundamental criticisms of this basketball team is for the most part, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, not so much Bradley Beal, but this is a team that has built a culture of deflecting accountability. I'm just here to play basketball.
But it's a weird, and this is an issue that is far beyond Phoenix, Arizona. It's something that's going to continue. Frank Vogel's making $6 million a year. Frank Vogel is a non-confrontational type of head coach. One of the roles of a head coach in athletics of any sport, the player, the athlete you are coaching, needs to hear hard truths, needs to be confronted.
Yes.
How can a $6 million a year employee with this movement to player empowerment in the NBA, which is not all a bad thing, by the way, but how comfortable are guys going to be 20 years from now? What's the separation going to be between coach and player salary in the year 2040? It's going to be astronomical. So that's a problem that a lot of guys and coaches, that's why player coaches exist. Players coaches exist. They don't want to be the hard ass, if you will. They want to be one of the guys. But even for the Kevin Durants and the Devin Bookers and the Bradley Beals of the world, they need to be coached hard.
Yes. Yes, that is so true.
And Charles Barkley is of the thought, and a lot of people feel this way, that it would be a disgrace to fire Frank Vogel. I know the majority of this fan base wants Frank Vogel gone. They vocalized that over the weekend in games 3 and 4.
Yes, they did. I agree with that.
It is not an ideal situation to have a third head coach of a quote-unquote championship caliber team in 3 straight years. But you got to find the right, as right a fit as you can.
Yeah, and this was not a good fit from the get-go.
Rewind to last season. Who were the Suns rumored to be pursuing before Frank Vogel was hired? They wanted to go after Ty Lue. And Ty Lue's future in L.A. was murky at the time. They signed him to the extension. Ty Lue, if the Clippers don't get out of the first round, which is still up in the air, he appeared to be frustrated several times with his ball club during the year. That might be a name that becomes available if the Suns make this move. I'm just saying. I don't know if Ty Lue wants to go back into a situation where there's, again, 3 superstars on the roster.
And no depth.
Because, he's got the situation in L.A. where there's 3 superstars on the roster and depth. They pulled it off.
It's true.
But they're still underachieving.
Yep.
Yeah, because one of those superstars is always missing when the big games happen.
That is true. Although they're tied with Dallas at 2-2, so, yeah. We said it earlier in the show. There's a lot of smoke.
There is. There is a lot. Team. Yes, there is.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It is open at 620 right now. Coming up next, the Arizona Cardinals adding 12 players in the draft last week, and we will talk to one of the new Arizona Cardinals. 5th-round pick Christian Jones, the offensive lineman from Texas. He'll join Bickley and Marotta mornings next here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. The Arizona Cardinals made 12 picks in the 2024 NFL Draft. So what stood out the most? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, we continue here on Bickley and Marotta mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Yes, the Arizona Cardinals, widely regarded as a positive draft, getting good draft grades. One of the 12 players they drafted in the 5th round, 162nd overall, offensive lineman Christian Jones from the University of Texas. And Christian joins us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Christian, good morning. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to Arizona.
Man, thank y'all so much for having me. I'm super ecstatic.
I think I know the answer to this question, but how's the last week been for you? I can only imagine the whirlwind, all the work that goes into the process of being drafted, but what was the draft weekend actually like for you?
Draft weekend, it was a blessing, you know. I was very honored to get picked up, you know, get drafted. Personally, I didn't, it wasn't like a matter of like if I was, but like when. And going to the Cardinals, man, is a perfect situation, you know. Great organization, great QB, great line already that I can learn from, and a lot of vets that's been there a while and can show me the ropes.
All right, your coach Steve Sarkisian had a lot of good things to say about you, about how you've developed, how much you can be trusted, how you're such a good character guy. For people who haven't seen you play, what are you bringing to the Arizona Cardinals?
I'm bringing just nastiness, man. Dominating in the run game, putting a hat on a hat. taking a man, moving him from point A to point B against his will, and a pass protector, man. I feel like I got great feet. I feel like I'm extremely athletic. I know that this is just the start, man. I feel myself getting better every single day. So, very excited.
Christian Jones, draft pick of the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here on Arizona Sports. That whole thought of getting better every single day, I don't doubt you, Christian, but your journey to get here is not the normal journey. You didn't start playing football till your junior year of high school. Just take our listeners, if they could, through that process. I know you were a soccer player, switched to football as a junior, but what went into that decision for you?
What went into that decision? My high school teacher, he was a football coach, and he was also like a health teacher, and pulled up to class one day. I want to say like really early in the semester. He's like, "Hey, man, you're too big to be playing soccer. Like, what's going on?" And I've always heard that growing up, you know, being in Texas, football is king over here. And I just told him, I was like, "Hey, sophomore year, I'm going to be on the academy team. I'm going to get a college scholarship, and then I'm going to commit and then work my way to the national team and like play overseas in England." And right, this is the first time we met. He said, "Well, you don't come play football." And I'm extremely prideful, extremely competitive. So I shook his hand on it. Fast forward to that sophomore year, second semester, didn't work out. Did not work out. And then I saw that coach that following Monday, man. And I just felt something in my heart. I kind of just asked him, like, jokingly, like, "Hey, man, when's football start?" He's like, "Today." I was like, "Dang." So I was really just throwing into it, man. And then my dad, you know, as soon as I made the transition, he found a trainer for me and started weight training. I really haven't hit weights until, like, that. So I was able to, like, mature and grow up and then really responsive results immediately as soon as I touched the weight. Start blowing up, gaining weight, gaining good weight, and just getting better and better at my craft. But it wasn't until I got to college that I actually like took a pass at it.
Yeah.
Because I played a DN junior year, just running around like high motor, like was in better shape than everyone else. Senior year, played left tackle. We ran the triple option. And I remember like my first PRP at Texas, Coach Hale was like getting a stance. I got in a 4-point stance, man. Everybody was clowning me. Like, who is this guy? So, like, yeah, the journey has been a long way, man. And, like, you can see on the film from, like, when I started in 2020, me, like, learning the game, learning how to play as the season goes along, you know, in 21, 22. Every single year I'm getting better and better. So, like, the guys that are ahead of me right now, I know for a fact I'm going to catch them up and beat them.
That's fantastic. All right, so one of the things that Sark also says is that because you were so late to football, you have a lot of development left and you've got a lot of improvement left to do. Do you feel that way? And if so, where are those areas?
100%. I say my whole game. Everything could be better. Everything. Like, I know it's very broad, but when you play offensive line, is even when you make a good play, you could be better. Like, so I would say technique, you know what I'm saying? Hat placement and hand placement, for sure. And those three things is what I'm really focusing on right now. But just the technique and the fundamentals and being a perfectionist and making sure that, you know, you don't practice to get it right. You practice so you can never get it wrong.
Christian Jones of the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here on Arizona Sports. In the pre-draft process, Chris Braswell from Alabama said that you were the toughest blocker he faced last year. He went in the second round. That's a really good pass rusher that's given you those props. What does that mean to you to hear that? What does that do for your confidence, Christian?
I mean, like, yeah, it solidifies the confidence for sure. But Braswell's a great player, and I was very lucky to go against amazing edge rushers my time throughout college. You know, check the tape, Trice, someone UW, then we got Braswell, Dallas Turner, Will Anderson, the defensive rookie of the year last year. Like, so a bunch of other guys, Austin Booker, Will McDonald, like, the list goes on and on of people that I played in the past and, like, played well. So it always, like, solidifies the confidence along the way. It's like, all right, I'm doing the right thing. Just keep going. So, shout out Braswell, man. He a good player, too.
Yeah, this is interesting now. So, are you kind of vibing on the fact that you might be blocking for Kyler Murray, who is a Texas high school legend at quarterback?
God, that's the first thing that hit me. I was like, whoa, Kyler's on the team. I was like, okay. And, funny story, right? So, it was a Red River game. What was it, 2018? Yeah, 2018 when Dicker hit that field goal, man. And like legit, like Kyler was coming back. I was watching him like play a video game, play Madden out there, just like doing as he pleased to our defense. You know what I mean? But luckily he ran out of time, so we got the dub. But I mean, like all that's in the past now. He's my quarterback. He's my teammate. I'll do everything on my part to make sure that he stands upright.
That's awesome. Christian Jones of the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here on Arizona Sports. During your time at Texas, you had experience at left tackle. You had a lot of experience the last 3 years at right tackle. Coming into the pros, are you equally comfortable at both positions? Because a lot of fans will just say, oh, tackle's tackle. But we know that's not the case, and there's nuances to both sides. Are you equally comfortable on both sides?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm equally comfortable. But I feel like I'm left-footed, you know what I mean, and left-handed. So I scored a lot of goals with my left foot already, a lot of muscle memory prior to football. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit more comfortable at right. However, like I'm always ready to go on either situation. Right tackle, left tackle, guard, free safety, don't matter.
That's fantastic. Now, one of the things that this new regime in Arizona, well, they're not so new anymore, but they really like violent football players, and you kind of described yourself that way, which is interesting because you gravitated to soccer early in your high school career. Tell us about the physical side of your personality and how that kind of plays into your role.
That physicality, like, and that violence really had to, like, develop over time as well. I had to learn how to play bigger, play, like, to the size of my body, as Coach Flood would say when he first got there in 21. So it was a process, and I finally feel like I'm there, but I could always be nastier and more violent. But, like, yeah, I mean, starting out just playing football, I was really just trying to learn how to play. I wasn't necessarily like, I was like, all right, maybe, let me make sure I get this block right. Let me make sure I do this. Not like, all right, I know I got it. I'm going to dominate them. You know what I mean? But now that's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, Christian, congratulations on getting picked. And thanks for the time this morning. Great to get a chance to know you
Definitely.
A little bit. And best of luck. Hopefully we can chat again in the future.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great one.
You Thank too. You, Christian.
Christian Jones, fifth round pick of the Arizona Cardinals, 162nd overall from the University of Texas, joining us. How about that story about switching from soccer to football?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
When does football start?
Or playing video games as Kyler Murray.
How about him telling this high school football coach, yeah, I'm going to be pro in soccer and go play in England, and sorry, no football.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that. But it also, that's a fact of life. If you get an athlete that's very, very large playing a sport, the football coach will go and poach them. From the program that they're in.
Absolutely. Happens all the time. With those athletes that are just blessed. They're going pro in something. It's
in
just
something.
Determining
right.
which one
yes.
it's going to be in.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks again to Christian Jones for joining us. Coming up next, we'll hit the 9 o'clock hour. Sarah will take us through some social studies on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.